Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Well, let me start by saying good morning, church. It is great to be with you. My name is Scott, and I get to be one of the pastors here. And Nick's right. This is an exciting time in the life of our church because we are rallying together to look for the next 10 weeks at who we are in Christ and who he says we are so that we can get our true identity from him instead of what we see around us. But our goal is that as we explore God's word, that it will speak to us and it will show us who we are in him, to recalibrate our thinking about who we actually are. I was having a conversation with my wife earlier in the week, and I just was having one of those, you ever have just one of those boohoo moments where you're just kind of in your own stuff and you just don't feel good about who you are? And I was just having one of those moments, and I just was being honest and vulnerable and real with her, and I just was like, I just don't know. And she just had this strange look on her face, like, you know when a dog looks at you and they don't understand you, they're just like, she's kind of had that look on her face, and she's like, what are you talking about? And as I began to just kind of tell her what I was feeling and what I was thinking, she was like, I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all. Like, I don't see that. Are you making this stuff up? Like, where does that even come from? And as we talked about it more, I realized that's a perfect example of what we're trying to do in this series on Ephesians, where we're looking at who God says we are. So in those dark days of our life, so in those moments or in those little bitty crevices where those thoughts from the world or from our failures or things that we've done in our past or things that we forgot to do, the details of life that we've dropped, when they start to just get bigger than they actually are, and we have those little boohoo moments about, oh, I don't know, and who am I, and this, that we can remember actually who we are in Christ, who he says that we are. And it's a beautiful picture that we get in Ephesians. And we're actually going to study that for the next several weeks. For the next 10 weeks, we're going to study that together. But before we do that, before we crack open Ephesians, we're going to do something today. We're going to look actually at the book of Acts. And you're like, what? I thought this was a study in Ephesians. It is. But before we study Ephesians, we're going to study this morning a text in the book of Acts that talks about, I'll go so far as to say this. It kind of talks about the why that we as a church have said the method in which we're going to study Ephesians. This gives the why for the method that we've chosen to study the book of Ephesians. Not the how, the why. If you're familiar with the Bible, the book of Acts are the Acts of the Apostles. That's why we call it the book of Acts. It's the first church and how the first church was established. And we just sang that song that talked about, you know, Jesus came and died, and then the Holy Spirit lit the flame of the church in the book of Acts. And the church stood up and rose up, and the church was birthed there in the beginning of the book of Acts. And then as persecution came and the church was then spread out, God's word was sent and spread out throughout the entire planet. And people then recalibrated to the fact that Jesus came for everyone, the Jews, the Gentiles. And so what we see right there in the beginning of the book of Acts is the work of God among his people at this event. He crystallizes the church and then sends them out. And if they didn't have a firm grip on their identity in that moment, there's a problem because they're then being sent out and they're going to be, they're going to have a lot of those boohoo moments. They're going to have a lot of those moments of doubt. And so Paul writes all these letters to the church at Ephesus and Thessalonica, and he gives them instruction and he offers them correction at different times. That's why we're going to study that book of Ephesians together. But when I say the why, we have to look at how we're going to do that and why we would choose to do that in what we're calling right now growth groups. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? And what does that even look like? Because it's one thing to stand up here and say, all of us should be in a growth group. And I love Nick's encouragement as a reminder that today is it. You need to get signed up because they'll start this week. And over 400 of you in the church have said, yeah, I'm in on this. I want to grow and I want to do this with a group of people. But this is both our last Hail Mary attempt at helping you get into a growth group, if I'm honest. This is kind of like our final, like, if you haven't done it, like, if you need one more reason, here it is. This is the Hail Mary toss. But it's also for those of you that are in growth groups, a reminder of why you did this. Because some of you this week, you're going to get in the car and start out to this growth group thing, these people's house that you've never been to, and there's going to be people there that you don't know, and you're going to go, and you're going to be really close to their driveway, and you're going to go, you know, actually, how about we just do something else? Because that moment's going to creep in. You're like, I don't really know. You coughed. I heard it. We got to go to the hospital. We can't infect all these people. We're going to come up with these lists of excuses of why we wouldn't engage in biblical community. I've got my own list. I've got scars from people that I've done life with, and it backfired. I have my list of times when I've been vulnerable. And it hurt, but it worked. So today we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, at the first church and the markers of that first church and what biblical community actually looks like, what it's supposed to look like, and how it took place in the first church. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and we're going to start right there with verse 42. What had just happened, it was what we just sang about. The Holy Spirit had descended upon God's people and showed them his amazing love. And the Holy Spirit is now active in the life of the first church and those believers. And so after that event happens, we read in the text, the very next thing that happens says this. They, the first church who had had an experience with God, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I'm going to read it again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are the marks of this first biblical community. Now, when I read that list, it's a really short list. When I read that list, there are some images that come to mind for me. Immediately with that list. Now, I'm going to show you these images that come to mind for me. I'm also then going to, for the next several minutes, look at hopefully what is an accurate description of those. But here are the images for me that come to mind when I read that list in Acts chapter 2. Here they are. The upper left, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. For me, as a kid, when I grew up, when I hear the word teaching, man, I check out because teaching is school. Teaching is sitting in a row listening to someone lecture. If that's your image, we're going to work to search through God's word and we're going to see what that actually means. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now, that's this picture to the right here. I hear the word fellowship, and I see this. I see people sitting around hugging and crying, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool and something I never want to do. That word fellowship is a really old word. How many of you have ever been to a church with a fellowship hall? A fellowship hall. Those are good. I've eaten a lot of cake in fellowship halls, right? So I have really good memories of fellowship halls. As a kid, I played hide and seek in the fellowship hall. Remember those accordion curtains that they would fold out that had absolutely no soundproofing whatsoever? I'm pretty sure I got spanked behind a couple of those curtains and everybody heard it. But fellowship, we have a picture in our mind of what fellowship is, and it may be different than what the text means here. To the breaking of bread. I look at that beautiful, awesome dessert. One of the largest disagreements, I'll say, that my wife and I have had came while we were preparing snacks for a small group meeting one night. Because the week before, in this small group, someone had brought their snacks and they had brought grilled trout. So the pressure on us the following week to bring snacks, I've never made pastry puffs except for one time in my life. It was for that small group. And apparently I didn't make them correctly, I'll just say. To the breaking of bread. We're going to look at what that means. And then this last one. They devoted themselves to prayer. What does that mean? What does it look like today? Because it's not this like, okay, we're just going to all sit around. We're going to pray. And then, oh, we're going to take turns praying out loud. Some of you, you pucker up real quick, you know, when we say we're going to pray out loud. And you're like, oh, I'm right. You are like, I'm not going to that growth group thing. Forget it. Let's look at this first church. You can make those images go away before we burn that in everybody's mind and no one goes to growth group. They devoted themselves. Let's start there. The text very clearly says the biblical community starts with a devotion. They devoted themselves. That's a big word in our culture. That's a huge word in our culture. How often do we use that word? I don't use it very often, but it's a powerful word. Think about that. That's an image of being all in. This first church had a huge event. The Holy Spirit descended upon them. They're hearing each other speak in different languages and they can understand it. And God is establishing the first church. They had the luxury. They had the luxury back then in that moment of this amazing, huge, overwhelming moment of the presence of God Almighty showing up to them in the form. It says that there was, it looked like flames on them. Right, they're speaking these languages. And so their devotion, it seems to me at that time, was a little more simple because they had this shared experience that was in awe and wonder of who God was. But make no mistake, one of the marks of biblical community is this devotion. These people were sold out, and they had to be. Because when you read on in the rest of the book of Acts and you read on in the rest of the New Testament, they were about ready to be spread out. Now watch this. They were ready to be sent out into the corners of their communities. They were ready to be sent out to their different workplaces, to their different schools, to their different environments, to the different places where they would volunteer. They would be sent out. And so what they needed to be was they needed to be devoted, sold out, committed to one another. One of the marks of the first church and biblical community is this devotion to one another. That's why we've said it was a part of our formula for growth groups. Hey, this is a 10-week commitment. We're asking you to devote 10 weeks. And the reason we said 10 weeks is because 11 sounded too long. And we thought, you know what? Nobody's going, hey, devote yourself to a growth group for really eternity. Nobody's going to sign up for that. Like two people have signed up and they actually signed up for the wrong thing. Like nobody's going to do that. We recognize the honesty of that. Like you're going to land in a growth group and you're going to go, you know what? Turns out these people, they're nice and they love Jesus, but I don't want to be with them ever. Like that's okay. God made us different in creation. That's all right. But a mark of the first church, they had the exact same thing. They were different. Some of them didn't like each other. They're like, oh, just see what she did. Like they had those moments, but they were devoted to one another. And as a growth group strategy for us, we've said that we're going to create an on-ramp and an off-ramp at 10 weeks. And I said this in one of the services one week, and somebody's like, yeah, you're right. We've all done dumber things for 10 weeks, every one of us. But this first church, they devoted themselves to one another. But what did they specifically devote to? And then this is where we get the list. First off, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It was important to this first church because some people came with their opinions. Well, I think this, and I think this, and I heard this, and I heard this. And remember, back then, not all of them were even literate. So opening the scrolls, opening the teachings of the prophets, opening the law and reading that, they couldn't do that. They were dependent upon one another. So the apostles came and they taught regularly and they spoke to them and they passed this on so that they could come together and they could devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, not to the Old Testament law, but to the teaching and the interpretation of the law in light of Jesus. One of the marks for us, a biblical community that we get right here out of God's word, is we're going to be devoted not just to one another, but at the core, at the center of biblical community, not just for us in our growth groups, but for us, all of us as believers, if we find ourselves calling ourselves Christians and we would say we're a professing born-again Christian, Denny talked about what being born-again meant a couple weeks ago. If that's who we are, what we have to have in our life is a devotion to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. The beauty of what we have now that the first church didn't have is we have all of the letters of the New Testament. We have the teaching of the New Testament. We have the encouragement of the Psalms and the Proverbs. We have history books. We have prophecy books that give us encouragement for the one day. We also sang about that one day Jesus will come back. So that's what we have. And so as a part of biblical community, we will study the scriptures together. Which is why we started with the book of Ephesians. And we said, you know what, for 10 weeks, we're going to pore over the book of Ephesians. We'll read it together. Because for the first church, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to God's word, his truth. And so we'll do that together. So the first mark is devoted to the apostles' teaching. But then if we go on, it says, and to fellowship. And to fellowship. Remember those pictures that I showed you. The apostles' teaching, it wasn't boring where one person stood and lectured to the others. It was where people sat in a circle and they discussed the teaching that was shared. We'll do that, but we will also be devoted to fellowship. Now, a bunch of you raised your hands and said, you know, you've been in a fellowship hall. I love that. I love that churches 40, 50, 70, maybe even 100 years ago developed a space in their church called a fellowship hall. And I was thinking about that this week. I wonder where that idea came from. When did fellowship turn from gathering in one another's homes and caring for one another in those normal spaces? When did we formalize that and say, well, we need to have a capital campaign and raise money to add on to this building so that we can have a square box and put carpet in it with these accordion things so that people can come because we want to gather? And you know what? It's actually just kind of a pain to clean our house and have people over, so we'll just go to the fellowship hall. It's not bad. Again, I grew up in that context and that environment, and I did experience this word here. This Greek word is called koinonia. You can look that up later, what that means. It means this true interdependence with one another. But I gotta be honest, that's really hard to do in a sterile cinder block room with carpet that I get in trouble if I spilled a red Kool-Aid on. That's a real example, by the way, from my life. But if it's just in that sterile room versus it's in someone's living room, where we see, oh, what's that vacation picture? Like, oh, that was a couple years ago. We went, you know, with my parents, and, you know, it was my dad's last time that he was alive and we could do that. And all of a sudden, we begin to experience a different level of fellowship. It's why we've said, we're going to take a stab at this. We're going to do this in homes. Now, some of those will take place here in the building because there's some practical things like childcare. Childcare is not mentioned here, by the way, in this text. You wonder, like, what did they do with their kids? Like, you just stay here. We'll be back in a week. Like, I don't know what that really was. I know how they did that, but some of our groups will meet here. Some of them will meet at Martin's. It's not about just being in the homes, but this was an intimate, interdependent fellowship with one another. That sounds risky, doesn't it? I actually heard a story this week of a guy who said to his wife, I'm not doing that. Well, why not? Because I don't know what you'll say. And he meant about him, because it's vulnerable. Now, growth groups are not therapy. They're not. I've been in growth groups that it turned into therapy, and then everybody's staring at their cup in their hand as one person works out their stuff in front of everyone. Our growth group leaders have been trained to identify that. If things start to turn to therapy, we're going to say, hey, fellowship is one thing. Let's do that. This may be something we have to escalate to an expert. Let's talk about this. Let's take that offline. But they are about bearing one another's burdens, about this idea of koinonia, being together, really together, and being honest and real with one another. So devoted to the apostles' teaching, it's not a lecture style, it's conversation, not about what we think, but about what God's word says. Okay, so it's not opinions, it's about what God's word says. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to fellowship, this idea of actually sharing our lives with one another, sharing our real stories with one another. It goes on, to the breaking of bread. Now, there's two references in Acts 2, at the end of Acts 2, of breaking bread. This specific reference is the idea of communion, of celebrating communion. Now, we're not going to do communion every single week in our growth groups. There may be a week or two that we do that we celebrate that we remember what Christ has done. But every week when we gather, one of the marks of biblical community is not remembering, hey, how was your week? And how are things going with you? And what's going on with you? And what have you been doing? That's great that we learn that, and that's a part of fellowship. But if we leave out, if we only talk about what we have been doing and we don't talk about what Christ has done, we miss out on a piece of biblical community. Think about that. If we just sit and talk about what we did over the last week and we don't talk about what Christ did once and for all on the cross for us, we have a social group. One of the marks of biblical community is that we will gather and we will either literally break bread and experience communion together, or we will make sure a part of our discussion and our time together is remembering the work that Christ did on the cross. I think back about the times when I thought I was in biblical community. And I realized there's times in my life that I thought I was experiencing biblical community and I wasn't. I may have been in a Bible study where I was learning and growing, and that's good. I may have even had this fellowship, this leaning on one another with other people, but we never discussed the work that Christ had already done in our lives. We never talked about the work that he was actively doing in our lives. Denny talked about that a couple weeks ago, this idea that salvation, we continue to work out our salvation. That's what a growth group does. That's what biblical community does. We work out our salvation with one another. Is that vulnerable? Yeah. It is. Is that a part of biblical community? It is. So they worked out their salvation. They were devoted to the breaking of bread to remember the work that Christ had already done. And then lastly, to prayer. And again, this one can be the scary one. People are like, oh, see, I knew it. I knew when I clicked that little box online, I knew they were going to make me pray out loud. Well, let me just tell you, you're wrong. And they devoted themselves to praying out loud and making people, you know, pray out loud. No. But the idea here in this first biblical community is they got together and they recognized that communion with the God Almighty through prayer was a part of biblical community. That bearing one another's burdens wasn't just, hey, do you need a meal? Okay, we'll bring over a potato salad and some pizza next week and we'll care for you that way. It was about uniting their hearts together in prayer and ascribing worth to God through prayer. Now, can that happen out loud in a group? Yes. Is praying together a mark of a biblical community? Yes. Are we going to force that growth on anyone? No. However, as we grow and mature, and as we experience koinonia, this interdependence with one another, we'll recognize that the people that we're sitting with, after a couple weeks, they are safe. And we can try some new things, and we can take some risks. And we can say, hey, you know what? There is this thing in my life going on. Would you pray for me in this? And after a couple weeks of doing that, you realize, wow, there's also this person across the circle from me that I've been hanging out with now for 5 or 6 weeks, and they've mentioned the same thing several weeks in a row. And when it comes time to pray, I may just take the risk and I may just say that prayer out loud. Might it happen? It might. Are we going to force that? No. But the first church, they were so in love with God that they wanted to make sure that when they gathered, they were devoted to one another, to the breaking of bread, which was recognizing the work that Christ had already done, and to praying for one another. It's the mark of biblical community. When you continue to read the text, it goes on. Here's what happened when those four things were present. When those four things were present, here was some of the outcomes of that. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonderful signs, the wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. Which is tricky for me. I think, how do they have everything in common? They all came from all of these different parts of the world. They landed in this one space. There was this crazy event. But as they began to share their lives, they realized, you know, you're no different than me. You have this great big job. Your car's a lot nicer. You make a whole lot more money. You've got more stuff and things. But you're talking about things that you struggle with, and they're the exact same things that I struggle with. They had everything in common. And then what they did is they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It doesn't say they were told to do that. It says as they understood the people in the room, that who they were with, and they had issues. And in this instance, they traveled from great distances. They landed in this place, and they needed a place to hang out because they couldn't get back to the other place they wanted to go. They wanted to sit and listen to the apostles' teaching. So they actually just cared for one another. They're like, hey, well, if you need a place to stay, you can hang out here for a couple weeks. And they cared for one another. Please don't withdraw from a life group or a growth group because you're going to have to sell your stuff. That's not what we're saying. It says that as we get to know one another and as we embrace this idea of biblical community, we will want to care for the people around us because we're recognizing they're caring for us. Every day in this first church, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We're going to meet once a week. They, because of this huge event and the importance of the launch of the first church, they met every day. They met together in the temple courts. They broke bread. Now, this break bread here is a reference to the, they just sat and had food. They ate together. By the way, not pastry puffs and trout, okay? Unless you want. But they had ordinary meals together. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. For me, this isn't in the Greek language, but my image that I build in my head are all the times that I've just sat and laughed and told stories and heard of people's life. And somebody comes in and says, you're not going to believe what my son said today. And I'm like, oh, that is really funny and totally inappropriate. You begin to share that together. We still have friends from a 20-year-ago growth group. We joke about the cup with the ice because our first couple meetings was so awkward. We wanted to make sure everybody had a cup in their hand so they could just stare at it. We still laugh about that. And there's some of our dearest friends who we have experienced all four of these together. We've broke bread together. We've prayed together. We've read God's word together. We've experienced the intimacy of fellowship and friendship together. But they just laughed and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of each other and all the people. And we've got to be careful, and we'll talk about this in your groups, we've got to be careful that we don't just see this as a recipe, a means to an end, because this last verse says, as they did that, the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. The caution is that we don't see biblical community as a method. So, well, let's do this so that then God will provide more people and then our church will grow. If we see that as a method, we'll miss the fact that what God wants to build is us, his people. And we'll see other people, and again, we've talked about this. We spent the last 3 weeks talking about this. The other people in our lives who are not following Jesus, they're not targets. They're not projects. They're people who've not recognized yet that Christ is their Savior. So as we come together and we experience this biblical community, what happens is that people see the difference in us as we grow because God wants to do a work in us. And then as we are changed and as we grow and as we go through difficult things in life and we're surrounded by biblical community and people caring for us and our lives change through prayer, it will get the attention of everyone around us and they will say, hey, how did you make it through this difficult time in life? And we'll have the opportunity to say, you know that thing that I did for like 10 weeks a couple years ago? And all those people, and you know that guy that comes to my house every couple weeks and helps me with this? And you know, you've seen us go help this one family? That's how I got through it. And they'll say, man, I wish I had something like that. The Lord will add to our number, not because we participated in biblical community, but because biblical community was a part of our life and that will be attractive to others. Church, biblical community can happen. I'll get careful how I say this because I don't want to undermine everything that we've already done. Biblical community can happen without a 10-week growth group. It can. But right now as a church, we're saying this is the method that we're all in as a church and we're going to do. That as a church, for 10 weeks, this is what we're going to do. And then another 10 weeks in the spring. You may be involved in biblical community in another place. You look at this and go, I've got all four of those in this other thing that I'm involved in, Scott. I want to celebrate that and say, awesome. That's so great. And I'm encouraged. I want to hear about those. Like, tell me those stories. At the same time as a church, there's something unique that we are going to do together as a church, as Warsaw Community Church, to say we're doing this together, all of us. We're going to experience biblical community, and the specific thing that we're going to rally around, the apostles' teaching, the word of God that we're going to rally around for 10 weeks is the book of Ephesians. And we'll do that together. And let's just see what God does in our church as we do that together. To close, I'll say this. I showed you four images. We have in our mind what we think biblical community is. I don't believe this is what it is. I don't believe it's this image of these people sitting around just praying and hugging one another. I don't believe it's fancy desserts. Could be a part of it. I've had a few of those in my day. It could be. But not because we have to, because we know we need it. We need fellowship. We need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. We need to pray and ascribe word to God and get our cues from Him, and we need to do that together. So whatever images you've structured and built in your mind, release those and allow God to rewrite the script for what biblical community is in your life. There's a whole crew in the lobby waiting. If you've not signed up yet, they're out there. Talk to them about that or share your story of where you're experiencing growth right now. They would love to hear that and celebrate that with you. Let me pray for us today as we close our time, but as we launch into growth groups and biblical community as a church. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, thank you for using people, your church, to do that. God, help us to experience the community that you want for us. Help us to be changed by that and to gather our identity from who you say we are that we'll experience through other people as we work that out. Help us to experience that together. I love you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
If you are encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.